working Monday night, and Tuesday might not be quite right, so come by Sunday.
Welcome to Smashing Sundays. Before we introduce our amazing, spectacular guest this week, we're going to do a little bit of a beg. If you're enjoying Smashing Sundays, please go and subscribe to us and maybe give us like a nice little bit of feedback. 5-star rating would be nice on iTunes, and we'd really appreciate it. Welcome to Smashing Sundays with me, Lucy Pinder.
And me, Beth Granville. And we are joined today by fabulous drag artist, comedian, and most importantly for me personally, the plant from Little Shop of Horrors. It's Audrey Two. It's Vicky Box. Whee! Hello.
Good morning.
Hi, love. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming.
That you've had enough ice in your voice now when you're talking. Because you've had a fucking nightmare before you got here today.
I was just trying to find some ice. I wanted an iced soy latte, and Pret said we don't have ice.
Let you down.
How do you not have ice?
What the hell is going on?
It says it on the menu, iced drinks.
What was their excuse? That ice machine was broken?
There wasn't even an excuse.
They don't have a freezer?
She just looked at me and was like, we don't have ice. Oh. So how would you, okay, can I have my money back? There was nothing, no response. They were like,
They're not great in there today, actually. I went to that one earlier, and they didn't have the almond bites I wanted, and I'm not comparing it to ice, because that's not
but
as
still.
Bad. But I was a bit upset. I was like, oh, God, I was really thrown off. I'd been looking forward to them all morning, these almond bites. Oh, and sure, we haven't got them.
Beth loves Pret, and they're really letting us down. Like, I had a matcha latte, didn't I, instead of a turmeric. I mean, first
well,
world problems.
Well, I do love a matcha latte.
This is world problems.
This is so first world problems. But Betty loves a Pret, don't you?
Oh, and I love it.
They're letting
I mean,
you
girl,
down.
I go in there just to snatch up a posh cheddar and what's it called?
They're amazing.
I just like to have it in my bag as a snack later.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like that with the almond bites. I hoard them. They didn't have any. And she just couldn't have given less of a shit that I wanted. And that's what it sounds like. The ice, we had the same person.
There wasn't even a response. It was literally just blank stared me. And I said, I guess I'm, you know what? I'm not going to fight this today. I'm just going to go.
Yeah. See, would you not? We talked about this in one of the previous podcasts, because I'm one of those people that never complain. I just kind of go, oh, okay, everything's really shit and the food's horrible and the service is terrible. But I just kind of smile and nod. Beth will not put up with it.
No, I'm American. I'm going to make a fuss.
Yeah.
Why do Brits like to put up with, like,
y'all are very
service.
Polite. You are very polite.
Too polite.
It's kind of frustrating, because then you don't get to the point of what's actually bothering you. Then you hold it on. I'm not taking it because you're a mess.
America and Welsh people don't put up with shit. My grandma doesn't.
No, some do. But yeah, I do like to challenge things. There was nowhere I could go with the almond bites. They didn't have any. I couldn't have any. Same as you with the ice. You kind of go, okay, I mean, what the fuck am I going to do here? Like, there's nothing you can do. But I kind of wanted her to go, oh, you can have your filter coffee for free, though, because sorry about that. That's very on brand for Pret to have done that. But it was nothing. And I just, yeah, you went
to
Starbucks.
I still love Pret, though.
I love Pret.
But it's not. Go
but
there.
you got your iced latte in
Starbucks.
The
Starbucks, yes.
So now we've gone through the
and
the
any other
challenges.
Businesses that definitely don't need promotion that we should mention. Let's give Starbucks more money. Fuck it, let's give Pret more advertising. We don't make a penny from this, but let's give those guys some free publicity. Yes, please, more of that. Let's give Amazon a plug later as well.
Oh, I can.
Yeah.
I had a situation with them last night.
You were saying.
So I had ordered a duffel bag. I think you call them hold-alls, carry-alls. I don't know.
Backpack.
But like an over-the-shoulder moment.
Oh, okay. Duffel bag.
Yeah. So I ordered one to be delivered next day. And they signed me up for the Prime and everything over here in the UK. And I was like, great. I'm going to have it before 10 p.m. I stay at home waiting all day for it to be delivered. And then I get a little notification that says Pierre has signed for this at the reception desk. I go to the reception desk. There's nobody named Pierre. And the people at the desk are like, no, they might have delivered it anywhere. So then I get on my emails and I am, because I'm mad at this point and bothered that I wasted my whole day.
Yeah.
After me going off and getting a refund.
Oh, no.
Guess what came this morning?
Pierre. Did Pierre arrive naked with your package?
I haven't opened the box, but there was a box sitting outside of the door. And I was like, oh.
But okay, that's had still I just not waited. Next day.
No, it wasn't.
So.
I mean, I'm not wrong. It's just really funny. Had I just been a little more patient.
Yeah. I did that with Zara. I did that with Zara with a pair of. They just kept. I was on a chat with them. They just kept. Can you confirm your address? Can you confirm your name? Can you confirm your number? And I was just like. Yeah, and then 2 months later, these dungarees just turned up. And I think they did refund me. I was like, well, they've been somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe Pierre had them on.
It was Pierre. Also, Pierre was not spelled like Pierre. It was spelled like Pierre. P-I-E-R. Is that how you spell
it? Pierre. No, we...
No, it should be double R-E, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just assumed they were saying Pierre.
Pierre.
It's funny because that's the word peer in my head.
Yeah.
And there's a stop on the tube, or DLR or something, London City Pier. And they go, London City, Pierre. And it gets me every time. And
see?
I'm like, I swear to fucking God, it's Pierre.
It's Pierre.
Pierre.
Yeah, but now that that guy spells his name like it, now I'm questioning myself.
But is he called Pierre?
I don't even know.
Is it a woman called Pierre?
I was
going to
say, I don't even know that it was a he. I assumed that was my own assumption.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the bottom of this.
You guys, we're doing great.
If you're listening, Pierre, yeah, we want to know what happened.
Thanks, guys.
So how long are you over here?
Just a few more weeks enjoying my life. I am currently in a show called Zeus on the Loose. It's going to be over very soon. This week is the last little week, and it'll be fun.
Where is it on?
Where? At Fire. The nightclub Fire.
Amazing.
Yeah, I used to end up there.
It's
one of those places
there.
That you kind of just end up and stay there for a while. And then 10 a.m. the next morning, you're like, oh, it's probably time to go home.
You get lost in a hole of debauchery. That happens in the Groucho.
That does happen in the Groucho.
You lose hours of your life.
Hours.
Freedom's like that for me as well.
Yeah.
Freedom. Just dancing around poles until 6 in the morning. And
yes, very that. But now Fire has like these little food stalls outside in front of it, so you don't really ever have to leave.
Yeah,
Have you been to Fire?
No, I haven't. I can't believe I haven't. Where is it? It's in
Vauxhall. It's in Vauxhall, yeah.
Because you were here last year doing Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
Which I saw
and loved. It's one of my favourite shows.
It was wild.
Anyway, and you were... That was a magnificent decision, putting you as Audrey too, I thought.
I'm really lucky. Really, really lucky that they did that. And it's wild that, like, it's still affecting people.
Yeah.
I'm kind of mad that we didn't transfer anywhere.
Yes, yeah.
Because it was such a production.
Oh, like, it was incredible.
They really went for gold. Like, they took some chances on that one with me. Because I wasn't, like, a puppet. Like, I was flat out on the
stage. Oh, yeah, you were on the stage, yeah.
I was actually the plant. And I've never seen it done that way before. So it was really wild and...
Especially when a film's so iconic, like I adored that film. Mm-hmm. I watched it so many times growing up, and it's like Grease or something like that,
yes.
Where it's so iconic and it's so in your mind that you go, the stage show's going to have to do a bit of work. It's either going to have to do something really fucking different,
right.
Or be the film.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Gonna have to be
so
like
I think they
yes,
have to
letter
make
for letter
a decision
or...
with that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So decisions like that have to be made so you can enjoy it in a whole new way, something that you love in a whole new way.
And they
and
did.
You brought that.
They even put from the film, because the original show did not have Mean Green Mother from Outer Space in.
No, it didn't, did
the
it?
Show? No, so they put that from the film into this version.
Well, yeah, of course.
As the
because
finale.
That's fucking perfect for you. That's so great. And I took a lot of risks, actually, with that show because of the outfit.
I love this.
The outfit that I bought. I've only just remembered it as we were talking about it. And you were like, I'm just a mean green mother from outer space. So Tom said, Tom, who's our mutual friend, who worked as an associate director on the show.
Yes.
And he said, right, because I was going to press night, and he's like, you've got to wear something green. And I was like, do I? I was like, looked at my wardrobe. I was like, God, I don't own anything green. I'm not sure if it just doesn't work on me. So we went shopping for something, and he's like, it's got to be really sparkly. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. I mean, I live in black clothes, right?
Same.
So I'm like, sparkly green, really? I end up spending £50, mm-hmm. 50 fucking pounds,
a whole pound.
On a sequined emerald green waistcoat.
Yeah.
It was so funny. I got home and you literally went, I've made a terrible mistake.
It didn't look nice on. It was incredibly unflattering. A lot of other people at the press night hadn't gone to the effort I had.
No, you'd gone to the effort. It was hours of panicking.
There might be a photo of us.
£50.
There is a photo. Yeah, it's not that bad.
I don't think it was.
It was just very...
It just wasn't very flattering. I basically aged myself by about 20 years. And I'm single. So I thought, things like that, you want to look nice. I thought, well, you could pick up. It's Pest Night for Little Shop of Horrors. Not in that bloody 1920s inspired emerald green sequin waistcoat. And I ended up in heaven until 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I was sat. That night ended with me sat giving a load of 21-year-old gay guys dating advice in McDonald's while I sat there just eating loads of fries.
I'm so proud.
I wish someone filmed that.
Oh, God. I thought, what the fuck am I doing? I kind of checked myself and went, Beth, what are you doing? You're wasting your life. So as I got home, Tom stayed out and I'm going up the escalators. So it's 7 a.m, mm-hmm. Sunday morning. I'm going up the escalators. And I'm the only person on the tube. And this guy's coming down the escalators on his way for a fucking run somewhere. Ugh, and he just did this nod at me. And I nodded back like, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not wearing a sequin waistcoat going out for a run, mate, with a bag of McDonald's chips still in my hand. So, yeah.
Story of my
fun
life.
Fun night, though. Fun night.
Do you remember we went to Camden to take it back and the shop was closed?
Yeah, really sad. They'd gone to a festival. Saga. They're these guys who run the shop that are like, yeah, man, we've got a shop. Sometimes we run it, whatever. Like, they're just sometimes it's not open. They just like.
That sounds like a story I would have.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I feel like going to work today.
Yeah.
Nah, not today.
That would be my dream to run, me and Beth were saying, to like run a cafe. But if we woke up and were like, yeah, I just feel like not working today. Let's not go in.
Yeah, no thanks.
Same.
I'll make myself a coffee, but no one else.
When I was a kid, I really wanted to live above, like in New York, they have bodegas. Here, they just like the corner stores or like Sainsbury on the corner. I always wanted to live above one of them and own the store so I could just go down and get snacks whenever I wanted.
Yes. Such a good life plan, isn't it? Such a good life. I
was living above your work is the dream.
I can just walk downstairs, have a whole grocery store and just be like, thank you, and go back upstairs.
My friend used to live above a bakery in college, though, and she was delighted. She was like, oh my God,
the smell.
She was so excited. 6 months, she had to move out. She put on so much weight. Which I wake up to the smell. And she was like, I'm going to end up in hospital on a year to save my life.
Oh,
she's
gonna
lose
her wasn't thin anyway. And she just was like, I'm just waking up. I'm dreaming about it. I'm waking up, going downstairs, getting a pasty, going back up the stairs. She's like, it's lucky there's stairs. If there weren't stairs involved, I'd be dead.
Lucky there's stairs.
She having dreams like, do you remember, did you ever watch the film The Young Sherlock Holmes?
No.
Brilliant film. Mm-hmm. Brilliant film. We're younger. And Watson, the kid, he like hallucinates and all these like cream buns come to life and start dancing. Was she dreaming like
she would have been dancing? Yeah, absolutely. I will be now. I'm absolutely starving off of not having almond bites this morning.
Fuming.
Yeah.
I was just reminded of the time that I went out with our friend Tom and because I had been sober the whole run of Little Shop, took it very seriously. Yes. Well, it was just exhausting. And the whole show was outside in Regent's Park. So
of course.
And I guess for your vocal cord, like alcohol can't be good for...
It's not.
Yeah.
And just being tired, like the next day, the hangover was not really anything I wanted. Anyway, so I waited till the last day before I was going to go home and I went balls to the wall. Like I was just like, let's do it. Ain't nobody going to stop me tonight. And they did not. And Tom had left around 7 a.m., and then I just see my phone, the WhatsApp messages. I was almost arrested. I was with the cops.
I think Tom told you about that.
That
it wasn't my fault. It was not my fault.
No, because you were still out, were you?
Yes, he left me. Had you stayed, you wouldn't have been arrested.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's what happens if you get left on a night out. You call the police and get... Right, my wingman's left. I'd like him arrested. Thank you so much. So did you had a good time. Well, it must have been a good time because you've come back. So you're doing this show now.
I love London.
Yeah. Do you?
I really do.
What do you love about London? In the world.
Well, I love probably the things that other people do not. Like, I love this weather.
Right. You live in LA. Everyone that lives in LA is like, God, I love coming here and having rain.
Just having a touch of weather, just a taste, a flavor, a spice, a dash. It's great. Because in LA, the only seasons we have are earthquakes and fires.
Yeah. Sounds like a star signs, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Earthquakes, fires, Geminis and Virgos. That's all we have in LA. oh, wow, okay. Yeah, wow, fuck.
We should do like house swap when the weather's great.
I've thought about it.
We'll come and stay at your house. You can stay at my
flat. I'm going to LA in March. Yeah.
Well, if I'm not there, girl, I'll send you a key.
Oh, please. I'll either pay you or give you
a I live right in Hollywood. I mean, I shouldn't say this on air, but yes, I live right in Hollywood.
Wow.
How long have you been in L.A.?
I've lived in L.A. since 2008. I moved outside into the desert for a couple of years because I needed to get away because, you know, she does like to party.
Yeah.
Had to get my life together a little bit, but then I'm back in Hollywood.
So. Nice. And tell us the other things you like about London versus L.A. then. So you like the rain?
I do. I don't. The traffic here is worse. I will say that because you can't fit two cars on one street at the same time.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the walking culture. LA does not have that. Like, you can't walk down the street and just stop at a bunch of stores.
People look at you like you're mad. Whenever I go to LA, like, I tend to go like a couple of times a year and I try and walk everywhere. And you do, you realize you're like, this was a mistake because I'm an hour away from anything. But people look at you like in cars, like, what are you doing?
God.
Yeah.
And the public transportation is terrible in LA.
Does it even exist? I never see any. Is it buses?
There's, is this why you always like have an Uber bill for like nine grand?
The buses are actually
back from LA. I've never been, so I don't know.
Well, you're coming.
I'm going to learn to skateboard before March.
We're taking her
actually,
in
that
March.
Is also they have scooters everywhere now.
Oh right, okay, yeah, that'll be me, like Bart Simpson on a skateboard in LA.
We should do bikes in March, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, biking in LA is actually the thing.
It's not fire season in March, is it?
No, it's just coming out of like, so in February, January, the end of January to like the beginning, January, February, March, the beginning of March is like rain season.
Okay.
But it's not really rain. It's
because
like,
they get grey May, don't they?
Yeah.
And June gloom.
That's about it. And it rains for a total of 2 weeks, but not together, like spaced out.
Right, okay.
You'll be fine. If you can handle this, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
If it rains the whole time,
I'll be livid. It'll be
You'll
so
be like,
much
where are the forest fires
bites?
I've been promised?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they just had some fires.
They
and, like,
did, yeah.
Yeah, let's cut that bit out where we joke about forest fires.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most people do have insurance, although it is kind of crazy. There's a lot of like displaced housing and things. But the great thing about LA is everybody's aware of it. So when the time arises, everybody does come out of pocket. There's like places because there's a lot of horse ranches in the valley where the fires happen. People welcome all the horses. Like, it's not a problem to find everything. It's just hectic and panicky.
So scary.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, LA's used to that.
Yeah.
We kind of shouldn't be, but we are.
Well, yeah, I guess you have to be.
I do need to add one more natural disaster. The mudslides that happen.
Oh, so is that
because
when you
after the fires, then it rains.
Right.
And then you get the mudslides.
Let's not move to LA.
let's stay in I can handle the healthcare and gun issues. I can't handle a mudslide.
Well, cool. Now that we've talked about all of that.
Yeah. Now that we've gone through that cheery.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, no. No, it's fine. So so you're enjoying London. You're doing a show. Mm-hmm. How long are you here for? When can people go and see this show until? And will you tell us a bit about it? Because I'm going to come.
Oh, well, it's
only got a week.
Yeah, this is the last week.
Okay, cool.
It's about a bunch of nonsense. I really want to tell you what it's about. The story doesn't make any sense.
My favorite kind.
So,
yeah.
It's called Zeus on the Loose. I play Hades. And then you have Hera and Zeus. Those are the gods. And then
Hades the evil one.
Yes, Hades. Yes. I literally have a song called Ruler of the Underworld.
Nice.
Because I am. And I'm okay with that. And there's some shenanigans that ensue because there's some twins that if they get together, they will have more power than the gods. So Hera and Hades split them up, send one to the underworld. And then it's all behind Zeus's back. He finds out. He gets upset. Shit pops off. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, you can swear as much as you like.
It just comes out, girl.
You can swear as much as you like.
But it's really just, everything is just a setup for all of the acts to happen, which is like fire breathing and contortionists.
Wow.
And aerial acts like hoops and silks and some burlesque. So, yeah.
Amazing.
That sounds great. And that, so that's only on for a week. So by the time this goes out, people will have missed that. And you'll be back in LA.
Yeah, so, like we've timed this really
You'll be setting LA on fire again by then, will you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but if it comes back, you know.
I know that they're going to have Christmas shows. I might not be there, but they're going to have Christmas shows.
Right, okay.
And their company's called Pandora's Door. Let's give them a plug.
Yeah. And so you've enjoyed that.
I have. Yeah. Well, I love working with creative people. And I find that like dancers and the sort, because they're in touch with their body, they just have a different awareness moving through the world.
Yeah.
And I just love to soak that up.
Yeah.
So however I can do that, I'm into it.
Yeah.
And you've been here a month?
Yes. I lose track of time very quickly.
Yeah.
I got here. Yeah, it's been about a month. Girl, I went right off the plane into the show. It was nuts.
No.
There was like 3 days and it was like, go, just go. And I'm really terrified. Like, one of my fears in life is forgetting or remembering, depending on how you look at it. And there was like, here's the script. We open in a couple of days. Oh, okay.
Wow.
I'm terrible at memorization.
How was the first show?
It was interesting.
an earpiece,
yeah,
like Johnny
Depp.
Did
you have any tricks?
I made up a lot of stuff on the spot.
So you're good at, you do drag, right? So you'd be good at improv.
Absolutely. Off the cuff, I'm golden.
And are you allowed a lot of crowd interaction?
Oh, yeah, they don't have a problem with me doing that. Because the other night, there was somebody who was very intoxicated, living their best life.
Was it Tom?
Actually, he was pretty well behaved. I don't know who this person was. I just heard them while I was speaking. They were speaking above me. Without a microphone on, mind you, above me and over music that I was speaking over. And I was like, if I can hear you over this whilst I am speaking, girl. So I turned and I cussed her out really quick. I went off. I felt bad for a second. Then I went, nah, who cares?
Yeah.
And just kept it moving. But like, they didn't say anything to me about it. So
it never ceases to amaze me when we go to shows, like people, and I know like sometimes it's that people are drunk, but it's when like a show's going on and people are just having a conversation, like we've been to comedy shows. And it's like, why are you here? Like, go and sit in the pub if you just want to get drunk and talk.
But that's also the problem, is because it is inside of fire.
So yeah. Like,
the whole feeling and vibe is kind of that anyway.
It's getting loose.
I mean, they say at the beginning, like, could you please not
shut the fuck up?
Yeah. Did they say
no,
that?
No. Actually, that would have been my job as the character I am, and I did not say that.
Yeah.
I also don't mind fighting, so.
Yeah. Bring it on. Brought it on yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm used to it. I do host some crazy drag brunches where people think because it's their birthday that I'm supposed to care about them.
Right.
We all know the type.
The drag brunches. So Tori Scott was telling us about these in New York.
I still have not met her yet. I'm so mad about
this
because I've seen videos and she's so talented.
Yeah, she was our first ever podcast.
Yeah.
She was.
Love that.
Yeah, and she's coming over to do a show, actually.
I'm just going to miss her, too.
November. Yeah. She's doing London dates. Look up Tori Scott. Her show's fucking fabulous. Her voice. That
is
woman's
so good.
Voice.
And she can really tell a story.
Yeah, she can. She's funny.
We left going, that was really quite emotional.
Yeah, it is.
Her voice is just like, it puts your hairs on end.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm not going to lie, I've been studying her because I am putting together my own one-woman show.
Amazing. Are you?
Yes, girl. Yes, I am.
Will you bring that to us?
Oh, it's going to happen. I have meetings. That's why I'm staying on a little longer when the show is done, because I'm going to really get it done. Yes. It's going to be interesting because I want to like do drag, but not what everybody thinks.
Right.
But also, not the opposite of drag. I'm just going to use drag in a different way.
And is it going to be like a kind of like semi-autobiographical show? Is it going to be very personal,
in a way,
like a story?
In a way, yes. Basically, just the vulnerability that it takes to do drag
is
the same vulnerability it takes for everybody to get out of bed.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
Wow. Yeah. Can you talk to us at all? I'm fascinated. I love drag. And the guy who I'm in a sketch group with, he also does drag. And
oh, right on.
It's amazing. They had a show up in Edinburgh. And it was great. And this is like taking it to a slightly darker place, but talking about vulnerability. And he, like, they experienced just some, like, you don't think in this, in fucking 2019, that a man dressing up as a woman, somebody doing drag, would be in any way shocking or upsetting for anybody. But
it's
from
so
his
is.
Experience yeah. walking around flyering in drag, so you might be in a setting that you feel is safe in somewhere like Fyre or GAY Late or, you know, wherever, or Halfway to Heaven. Like, I'm just thinking of places where I see drag acts. So that kind of feels safe. But him going outside of that and being exposed to just regular punters who are like, oh my God, it's a guy in drag.
Yeah.
And he had some really awful experiences. And it's fucking heartbreaking.
It is.
And just out of interest, is that anything you might talk about when you were doing a show, how drag is perceived? Like, have you got any thoughts on that, any opinions
on that? I do. I wouldn't say that I'm going to necessarily speak on that. I'm just going to show how that has happened to me. Like, we all have it in some form.
Yeah.
Some people it's just exacerbated or exaggerated and more traumatic than maybe some others, but I can't judge somebody else's experience of trauma.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A balloon popping might really ruin somebody and then not somebody else. Mm-hmm. So we can't really judge that. But I can say that one of the great things about drag is that it, as much as it forces the world to look at you and it shows you who they are by their reactions, you use it then to like rebuild and be stronger.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's like it's your war paint. Mm-hmm. It's your armor. It's your security blanket that you use. And so like while people might not like it or appreciate it or try to tear it down, you end up using it against them. Does that make sense?
Amazing. Yeah.
And do you think that because kind of everyone is saying that things like RuPaul's Drag Race, kind of like drag is going more kind of mainstream. Do you think that's a good thing?
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also, it has its pros and cons, but I really think that the visibility is really great because for me as a kid, there wasn't anybody like me. I mean, there was, but you really had to like find it and look for it and go, oh my God, that's it. Mm. Whereas now, because it's becoming more saturated and more common awareness, that the little kid in the middle of the country in some like cottage somewhere is going to watch it on his grandmother's television and go, oh my God.
Well, this, like, I always say to my sister's eldest daughter is 16, and even looking at her friends and her generation, and they're also, I mean, they live in a very lovely place that's quite educated and quite kind of, and you know, affluent and tolerant, and all of her friends, like, all sorts of different, like pansexual and gay and lesbians, and her friend is doing drag makeup at college, and I'm like, this is amazing. Like we thought that we were quite open when we were younger, but when I actually think of my friends who were gay or lesbians, they didn't come out at school.
No.
And we wouldn't have, if there was someone that was into drag, even when I was at school, I don't think they would be very vocal about it. Whereas now I look at her and her friends, I'm like, you're all fucking amazing and just like being...
That's the part that I really love.
Oh, I love it.
It's not even about us. It's about what happens for the people that come after us.
Yeah, so important.
Yeah. So important.
Paving that way for just people to feel safe.
And speaking to the, like, just like the verbal abuse from random people, it was trans women and trans men that I found the strength to go, you know what, if they take this and they live this 24 hours a day because that is who they are, and I'm only doing this for several hours at night, I can handle it.
Yeah.
If they can handle it, I can handle it. And, like, we've got to start, you know, looking out for each other that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all have to look out for each other. So important.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm really excited to see that.
Can't wait.
Good luck developing it. So we chat about Sundays on this podcast.
Oh, that's right.
a little bit. I'm thinking of fucking off the Sunday thing, to be honest. It's turned into a more than anything. We get to it and go, oh, shit, we do the Sunday thing. it was born out of, you know, us kind of bonding over spending a Sunday together. And we like the title, so it's staying.
Yes,
it
should.
We are not getting rid of Smashing Sunday.
Yeah, we're not.
No, I love it. Branding. Well, I had the wrong idea. I mean, I guess I didn't. But Smashing Sundays to me, I thought was like, we do Sunday fun days, which sometimes turn into Monday, Tuesdays. And then, you know, you just kind of go really hard and drink entirely too much.
Until you wake up smashed on a Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday to Sunday. We should do a clear run.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm down to give it a go.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, so we talk about Sundays because they are a day. I don't know what they're like in LA. You're about to tell us, hopefully. But in Britain, Sunday is such a thing. Everybody's quite precious about it. I do this on a Sunday. You want to have a nice Sunday. It's dog walks. It's Sunday roast. It's drinking wine. It's, you know, it's so many things to different people, but usually overwhelmingly a day of rest. Unless you
work, according to our guests.
Yeah. And it's like, and my mum's a psychiatric nurse, right? So she she'll work on a Sunday quite often, but always still, she says the vibe in work is different. Even, you know, people are a bit more chilled. You're less likely to have an episode on a Sunday, perhaps, you know?
Handy.
Yeah, it's just a bit unless you're single and you've got in at 7 a.m, someone's nodded to you on an escalator while you're eating McDonald's chips for breakfast.
Right, that part.
But we used to have, like, we've talked about this before, when you do have a bit of a... if you have a life change, like if you, when we became single and you have a bit of a like, oh God, what do I do on a Sunday? And they could be quite sort of lonely for a lot of people who are on their own. And we kind of, this was born out of us going, no, we're going to, you know, we're going to enjoy, you don't need a boy to enjoy Sunday, and let's actually go out and do stuff.
Oh, that was what I was going to say about London. At home, I try to stay home in LA. I'm like, no, I'm not going out. I'm not leaving this house. Everything can be delivered in London. I'm like, I can go get it. It's right there.
Yeah.
So I will go do stuff, like the museums and things, because you can.
Yeah,
I love it. Right, you can walk there.
Yeah, literally, it's minutes.
That, have you got a day off on a Sunday doing this show?
Yes.
Great.
Yes,
so yes. Is that what you've been doing? Have you been going out?
I have.
Lovely.
Like, spent a day at Oxford.
Oh, Oxford's my favourite city. I love it. I'm going tomorrow.
Famously, Hitler and Lucy Pinder's favourite city.
This is
my fact that I love telling people, and everyone just goes, oh, okay, I think it's quite interesting. If Hitler had won the war, God forbid, he wanted to live in London, so in Oxford, so he didn't bomb any of Oxford. So that's why it didn't get bombed in World War II.
I mean, I'm not mad that it didn't get bombed. It just, wow.
I know. Yeah,
wait.
Don't like him, but he was onto something architecturally. Yeah.
There was a sitcom called Heil Hitler here.
Was there?
In the UK in the 90s. Random tidbit.
Who was in that?
I don't even know. I found it by accident. I was watching some television.
I'm gonna Google that.
And the song, I'm telling you, the opening credits, it just sits Heil Hitler.
Oh, my God.
And it's like...
It's got to be satire, modeled after, right?
Like, no, I mean, yes, but no. And, like, the concept is they live next to wacky Jews. Like,
oh, my God.
Not even kidding.
While I Google it, we ask about... Heil Hitler sitcom.
Yes, no, this is a real thing. And it was modeled after, like, the Honeymooners and the Dick Van Dyke and I Love Lucy.
Because the thing is,
sat around and went, I've got a good idea.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You know, that tyrant.
I don't even know how I found it. Things like this find their way into my life. And I'm like, oh, this is real. This is... You found it, didn't you?
It's called Heil Honey, I'm Home.
Oh, that's
what?
It.
It's a British sitcom written by Jeff Atkinson, produced in 1990, which was
cancelled. Was it?
It was cancelled after one episode. No shit. Who made that pilot? I love how my sitcom made for telly, but this was made. Can we go back to the 90s, please?
Right. Somebody approved this. This passed many people.
It centres on Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun, who live next door to a Jewish couple, Arnie and Rosa Goldstein.
I wasn't making this up.
I got hot
thinking about it.
Talking of this,
were
Vicky,
you like, did I? Mention?
I'm absolutely obsessed with this. The plot of the first episode centres on the British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, coming to the Hitler house. Not wanting the Goldsteins to interrupt the visit, Hitler instructs Braun to keep the news from Rosa, which she fails to do so. I mean, it's got everything a good plot needs, to be honest. The end, I'll just cut to the denouement. Arnie and Eva end up leading the visiting Prime Minister in a conga line around the living room while Hitler hides the Peace for Our Time agreement in an icebox. Oh my!
You couldn't make it up.
To not give those motherfuckers an episode two with that kind of cliffhanger,
right?
What?
I can't imagine how you.
Oh my God. I thought we had some really bad TV, but this is great.
This is I can't believe you brought this to my life. The only pilot ever screened, only the pilot ever screened. Although 11 episodes were planned, and eight were recorded. In which a story arc involved Hitler's secretive attempts to kill the Goldsteins.
What?
This is... I love this. Unlike the pilot episode, the other episodes had animated opening titles, similar in nature to those of Bewitched.
Yes. Oh my God, I've actually seen it. Okay, you'll watch
amazing.
It later.
I'm obsessed with this.
It is, though.
So,
mad.
We talk about ideal viewing on a Sunday. No need now. Don't need to ask you that question. We still will. I don't know how I'm going to think about anything else, but listen. Like, genuinely, I've got a radio sitcom, right? It's called Foiled. Listen, it's on BBC Sounds.
Yes. Smashing it.
And I want it to be on telly because I think it'd be a good telly sitcom. I love writing for radio, but I'm poor, so I want to make it on telly. And I think it's got some good visual comedy in it. I am now going to spend the rest of my life thinking about the fact that was made for telly.
It's what you've done to her. Sitcom. If she spirals.
If anything that should light a fire. Because,
yes.
Like,
yes.
Everything can happen.
Everything can happen.
Anything is possible.
I'm taking
everything
my producer's actually in the other room. I'm going to take this into him. So Vicky, tell me, and the BBC, tell me, right, we're going to do quick, perfect Sunday. So we haven't got... We don't have too much longer left,
and
which is sad because I could
like
do this all day.
And you can give us your perfect Sunday while you've been here, or your perfect Sunday in LA.
I'm really thinking about LA.
Yeah, do it.
Please. Tell us.
Well, I order all the delivery from anywhere. Like, I spend at least an hour on, like, Uber Eats just going through, like, where do I want food from?
And where would they be, your top ones?
There's a place called Bossa Nova, and it's Brazilian. And it's like, they have like this four cheese gnocchi that is so good.
I love gnocchi.
You love that, don't you?
Yes. And then they have, okay, so I don't eat the meats anymore, but they have chicken wrapped in bacon.
Oh, we're veggie.
Good. Because I just get the crostinis then and the gorgonzola sauce that it comes with and just dip that together.
Yes, please.
Because it is
so good. Cheese.
All the cheeses. So you got all your Brazilian. Cheeses.
Yeah. And then there's probably going to be a pizza in there somewhere because LA has really good vegan pizzas. And then sushi. But like not in the same order, depending on the day.
Right. Depending on how you're feeling.
You know. Oh, there's also this place called Lemonade. And it has these macaroons. They're like the size of your face.
Wow.
And there's one that's salted caramel, and like the filling is cream cheese. It is
shit.
So good.
You realize when you come to LA, we're just going to eat for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just going to eat drunk.
That's all we're going to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have loads of lovely food. What might you watch? What tune might you wake up to? What's your vibe?
Lately, there is this song this whole album actually that I've been like really vibing to. And walking here in London, I'll put it on. It's Late Night Feelings by Mark Ronson.
Ooh.
And Leaky. This song "Late Night Feelings"? It is so good.
Write it down, Granville. We're curating a playlist of everyone. We get all of our guests to give us like a Sunday morning song.
And I think her name is Yebba. Yebba.
Oh,
Smith.
Yebba's amazing.
She's on the album too.
She did like a live set at Glastonbury on the BBC, and I was
she's so good.
This? Her voice is beautiful.
There's so much texture in her voice. Yeah. I really love it.
Yeah, we should look out and try and go and see
her. Yeah, I remember now.
What would you like if you had just crashed out having a lazy Sunday? What would your ideal thing to be watching? Like, put the telly on
while you're dipping your sushi in your gorgonzola. Oh, yeah.
Well, I would have to walk my dog Biscuit first.
What dog have you got?
He's a little Bichon Poodle mix.
Oh, cute.
He's so sassy. He's like a little old curmudgeon.
He sounds sassy.
Gay man. His full name is Mr. Happy Biscuit the 99th.
I love
and
it.
And if anybody like makes noise outside of our apartment, he does the bark and mumble. It's not just the bark. It's like...
Lush.
Like he has a lot to say. But so we'll sit on the couch and we will watch every Housewives episode that I have not caught up on yet.
Amazing.
Just binge watch the hell out of it.
Have you watched any? We've got ones here, haven't we?
Cheshire.
We've got Cheshire. Have you been watching that?
You know I have. Limpika's one of my favorites. She's absolutely terrible. And Dawn. And I really love Dawn because she sounds like Mel B.
Right, okay. I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, it's time to watch.
We'll have to... What would be like if we were going to ease ourselves into a Real Housewives? What's like the ultimate? My mum used to watch... The Beverly Hills one, I think.
Beverly Hills is like complete class and trash thrown together. It's really, really great. But the OG is the Housewives of the OC. They were the first Housewives franchise.
Right, okay.
Auckland is really funny, too, because there's this one woman who like is really, really rich, and she just does not put up with anything. And I love how people from Auckland... They use their T's at the end of things. Like,
oh, yeah. My friend's from there. She stayed with us recently. The accent is beautiful.
It's great.
It's so good.
Yeah, it lends itself to comedy very well. That's the one I want to give a go, actually, then. The Auckland one.
The woman, she was the host or the presenter for The Weakest Link. And she's an actress and she's on the show. So she's very particular about things. And it's really fun to watch.
Oh, fun.
I used to walk it. My mum would be watching it, and it would just stress me. It would just be arguing, screaming, drunk women, and I was like, "Ugh."
But I love drama when it's not mine.
This is too much. Like, this is too familiar.
Oh, great!
Yeah, I love that. Also, well, this Sunday I watched all my Grey's Anatomies. I had to catch up on those.
You would be my mum's like perfect viewing partner. This is all the things she loves Grey's Anatomy.
I don't understand how Grey's Anatomy is still on, first of all. And it still finds a way every episode to like choke me up a little bit. Like I get fully invested in these characters every episode. I might have a problem.
But that's quite nice to on a Sunday have a bit of a cry at something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is that depends. Just my mood?
I don't like.
She said, that depends.
I made. Yeah. I love a very depressing war film, and I made Beth watch Atonement, which is one of my favourite films, on a Sunday. You loved it, didn't you? But we sat and sobbed for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I felt sick. I don't really like crying very much. I don't cry. I do at stuff. It's very rare that something in my own life will make me cry. Occasionally I'll have a bit of a cry, but it's not something I like to instigate. I don't like turning the taps on.
Oh, I don't like turning it on.
I'll go then. I'll have a sob, you know? Yeah, yeah. And yeah.
I'm a leaky faucet. It happens all the time.
Yeah. Like watching something, oh my God, yeah, a fucking Yellow Pages advert will make me cry. But I don't, you know, something, yeah, it's really heart-rending. Wrenching? What the fuck do you say when you say that? Is it heart-rending or heart-wrenching?
Wrenching. I thought it was wrenching.
I would say wrenching, although I learned
I'm Googling heart-rending quickly. We got 1 minute to go in the studio.
I realize I don't
Any
know.
Other business, guys?
I think it's great. Wrenching. My mind will be blown if it's not heart-rending.
Oh, yeah, heart-rending, causing great sadness or distress.
Where the hell did we get wrenching from?
I don't know, but I'm really glad I finally cleared that up, because I think about that
every time.
Did you clear it up? Oh, no, you can say heart-wrenching as well.
Oh, okay. Oh,
heart-rending,
so
heart, yeah, yeah.
It's either
extremely
or...
sad or distress. Yeah, this heart-wrenching drama revisits the early days of crisis. Correct. And on that note... Vicky, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Could honestly stay and do this all day.
Please come back when you're back with your
Yes, I would love to.
Will you come back and
Absolutely.
Talk about the show?
You guys have to come to
We'll come and see the show.
I might try to make you cry, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I love a good cry.
I just make sure I'm not hungover.
I mean, we'll definitely laugh a bunch, though. Like, I want to laugh at the fact that, like, life is terrible.
Yeah.
Please.
Because it is.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is at the moment. It currently is. Hopefully, it'll be better next time you're back.
Yes, come on, let's do it.
The Atlantic.
Positive vibes.
Yeah. Right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Come by Sunday. Make it after 3. Come by Sunday.